we're thankful, going to the book of 1 Kings. And there's a very exciting passage here about Elisha and Elijah and their first encounter together. 1 Kings 19, we're starting with verse 19. So Elijah departed from there. He was in a cave and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. So a pretty wealthy farmer. That many yoke of oxen indicated they had a fairly large business. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And everybody knew in that culture who Elijah was. And the message to this young boy was, God has a plan for you. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment. Now he's just put it all to rest and gave it to the people, and they ate. He wasn't going back to it. There was nothing to go back to. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Father, this is an amazing passage. And Holy Spirit, that's not by accident you've put this in here. It's for us to learn from. Help us to be people willing to hear you and change. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is a story about how Elijah is at Horeb. He's in a cave, and God and he are having a conversation. He's been depressed. He's having a difficult time, and God's kind of got him jump-started again, tells him to get out of there, go find this young man, Elisha, to anoint him for ministry. Elisha was a farmer. He was in about the business of the family in the field that day. And from that day forward, after his encounter with Elijah the prophet, he never went back to farming. He served Elijah for 20 years as his servant, and then after that established the ministry that God had called him to. So tell your neighbor, if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to have to make changes in your life. Amen? Changing will improve your life. So I want to continue to speak about this topic I picked up on a couple of weeks ago, because everybody resists change. Everybody resists change. Chip Gaines from HGTV, Fixer Upper, he and his wife have had that program. A couple of believers have done extremely well on that particular channel. I quote him. He said, quote, people show an enormous resistance to modifying even a fraction of themselves. And I said, wow, you get it, didn't you, Chip? Yep. People show an enormous resistance to modify even a fraction of themselves. That's the kind of culture we live in. Doesn't matter your color, doesn't matter your status or background. Everybody enjoys the familiar. We get comfortable with it. We want things to be constant. We want it to be the same. People sit in the same seat at church. They go to the same restaurants. They like everything comfortably the way it's always been. You want it that way. Don't make me change, because we don't like change. Your husband or wife has a problem with you, but you don't care because you don't want to change. But watch out for the train wreck that's coming. You see, you kind of just like it the way it is. So you resist change. It's useless. Elisha's made up his mind that he was tired of just plowing the field. Made up his mind, I need to listen to what God's saying to me, because he's got another plan than staying here in this comfortable, well-to-do family farm and do some other things in God. So he hears the word of the Lord, sacrifices his oxen. He said, I'm not going back. I'm going to follow him. He sold his business, kissed his parents goodbye. And sometimes you have to burn those old bridges and kiss it all goodbye if you're going to go to a new place in the Lord. You will lose the comfortableness. Ask Abraham how that was when he was 75 years old. God called him to go do that. You have to get away from your addictions and your obsessions. You have to quit hanging out with people who drag you in the wrong direction. We are called to change, and we have to make changes in our lives if we're ever going to go to where God wants us to be. Elisha was no longer going to live the status quo, comfortable lifestyle he'd grown up in. He was not going to go through the motions there any longer. Someone knows what I'm speaking about in here today. And he decided, I've got to accept this challenge from God to make an adjustment in my life. If you're tired of the same old routine, and if you're tired of the rut you've gotten yourself into, there's going to have to be some adjusting in your life. If you're tired of no progression, you have to make adjustments and adaptability. God's speaking to someone right now about burning the past, kissing passive behavior, goodbye, kissing that sin that's beset you, goodbye, kissing the casino, goodbye, kissing the party, goodbye, broken relationships, goodbye, even failures of your past, kiss them goodbye. Time to make some change. Everybody say, changes. It's time to put the Lord first, and it's time to get involved in His church because those are kingdom values. It's time to pay your tithes. That's a kingdom value. It's time to sell out to the Lord. It's a kingdom value. Let me say it this way. Don't fight change. Embrace change. Because if you fight change, you're going to fight the progress God has designed you for. And if you're not growing, you're dying. Face that reality. Only a crazy person would do the same thing year after year and expect a different result. Only a crazy person will live in the past and expect to have a great future. Not back there, you're not. It's time to release all those issues and create another relationship level with God. Life isn't always fair, but you can move on with your life. Amen? And the word says, without a vision, the people, my people, perish. In other words, you have to have a dream. You need to discover what your purpose, why you're here, what God's designed for you, a vision for your life. But you have to give up the past if you're going to embrace that future and that vision for where God is taking you. That's why the Josephs and the Daniels and the Moses and the Abrahams are all examples of this. Sometimes you forget what's behind and you reach forward to what lies ahead in your spiritual walk. And you have to say, I'm getting up from here because I'm tired of this rut going nowhere. I'm tired of being stuck. So, because progress always requires change. And if you're going to have progress, there have to be adjustments and tweaks in your life. You can't change where you've been, but you can change where you're going. You live in the, and listen, we're to be changing in a metamorphosis process by the Spirit of God until we draw our last breath. We are never to stop changing. You've got to get up and make new plans every day. If you're going to achieve goals, how many have a goal in life? If you're going to achieve it, you have to make some adjustments. Because if you remain on the same path, nothing is going to change. It's time to get over all the things that you've gone through and stop using those as an example or reason why you don't want to change, because every time you've tried something to launch out, you've gotten hurt or burned or something went south. Let me tell you, you're not the only person who's ever been abused. You're not the only person who's ever been abandoned. You're not the only one who's ever gone through a divorce. You're not the only one who's gone to prison. You're not the only one who's felt what it is to be betrayed. You're not the only one who's ever faced a bankruptcy. It's time to grow past it and go on with your bad self. Amen? So grab your neighbor by the arm and tell them, it's time to grow past it. Come on, and go forward. You may not like where you are, so you're going to have to move forward. When God's working in your life, He'll allow you to go through fire to get your attention, because we're sometimes very unwilling to get out of our comfortableness and what we like and get familiar with. And so in order to get us motivated, God will allow some fire to strike underneath us. He'll allow you to go through some failures, not just fire, but some failures. And He'll let you go through some stuff to get us to change. Say, I'm going to change. I am. It seems as though God allows you to go through some things just before you see the breakthrough. That's always a part of the plan. The testing will happen to see if you can pass it so He can give you what He's planned for you, but there will be no reward or breakthrough unless you pass the test. And everything you're going through today is preparing you for where God's trying to take you. Ask Joseph. It's about getting stuff out of you that has to come out of you. That happened for him and me and for everybody in the room. It's about being on the potter's wheel and God changing and reforming you. It's about improving your life. Changing from negative thinking to positive thinking is not going to happen on your own. You're going to have to fill yourself, flood yourself with the word of the Lord to saturate your thinking process. But if you'll get the word in your heart, if you let go of the stuff of your past, if you'll begin to trust him in a fresh and new way like Elisha, change the negative thinking in your life, and you will never understand being on the potter's wheel until, like David, you come to recognize, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. It was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So you'll never be able to understand all the trouble and the fire you've gone through in your life until you can say, wait a minute, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good I went through what I went through, because when I, after I went through it, I was different. I changed. Because I went through it, I'm a better person. And God has a way of taking what the devil meant to destroy you and using it for your good. That's a faith issue. Do I trust him? Do I believe that the potter has the wisest plan for my life and that he's smarter than I am? And I believe that his word is true. In other words, you can go through something, and in the middle of going through it, you might feel like, well, God has forsaken me. Operative word, feel like. You go through something and it feels like you got kicked to the curb. Bottom line, it is a faith issue. You have to believe that no matter what's come against us, you have to believe somehow God's using it for your good, because his word says so. Even if you have failed in life, even if you have missed the mark, God has a way of turning that around. And if you haven't achieved your goals and dreams as yet, listen, if you will put God first, so it's only a matter of time, I'll get you where you need to go if you pass these tests by putting me first. But you're going to have to make some changes. But the problem is, we don't like to change. We fight change. We resist change. We want things to stay the way they've always been, but we're going to have to make change in order to get to where God wants us. No matter who we are, setbacks take place in our lives. You can be cruising along fine, everything's wonderful, and all of a sudden, setback strikes you in life. Everything's wonderful, and sudden the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. Am I preaching right in here today? Amen? And there's something about growth. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, there's something about growth, change, that will improve your life. Get that into you. Something needs to change. And God tells you what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything you need will be added to you. So God has a way, when you put him first, of taking every setback and turning it into a comeback. When Jesus is Lord now and commander-in-chief in my life, he's king, you have to believe he turns every tragedy into triumph. You have to believe that he'll turn every mess into a message and a testimony. You have to believe that God will turn every failure into a success before the deal is over. The devil thought he had defeated Daniel when he had him thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel thought, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I'm the Lord's, and I'll be back. This is the kind of attitude believers need to possess in their lives. Throw me in the pit. I'm coming through this thing. Throw me in. God's with me. It's interesting to know how God uses trouble as a ticket to your promotion. It's amazing how God uses trouble to get us to where he wants us to be. The three Hebrew boys are thrown into a furnace of fire that's been heated 7 times hotter. It's a smelting furnace. It's the furnace Nebuchadnezzar had used to have the statue of himself created that was 90 feet into the air of solid gold. And these boys are thrown into the middle of this furnace, but it was their ticket to leadership because Jesus stood in the fire with them. Joseph is thrown into prison, but it was his ticket to leadership by the side of Pharaoh. Elijah was at the brook and everything was wonderful and the water was cool and it was clean because there was famine everywhere in the land and drought, but he was by this beautiful creek and it was beautiful water and it was good and it was cool, and God sent ravens to feed him. You know, the Amazon drones showed up twice a day and dropped food off for him and he was comfortable and they delivered it right on time and everything was great in a land of famine. And God was taking, but one day the brook dried up, and one day the drones didn't fly any longer. And Elijah could have said, hey, God, what's up with you? You know, I thought you loved me. You were getting me through all this time of famine, and I'm your man. I'm your servant, and you've let the brook dry up, and there's no food to eat anymore, because God wanted him to go north because he had an appointment for him. So God had to get him out of his I'm comfortable now, leave me alone zone, to go where he was supposed to go to meet this woman who had nothing left to eat, and a miracle was about to see, there's a word for somebody in here today. You're wondering why God isn't doing it the way you want him to do it, and wondering why God hasn't acted on your behalf. When God's about to move in your life, don't be surprised when the source of your provision dries up. Don't be surprised, because God's trying to motivate you. Don't be surprised when he says, wait a minute, I have to get you off center here. I'm going to dry up your security and your trust in yourself right here, because you're going to have to make an adjustment in trust with me. That's going to grow you and stretch you. You may not like being in the storm today, but the storm will bring the rain. The storm will bring you blessing. The storm will cause you to change. It's a storm that brings the power of God active in your life. The storm will strengthen you so that you can bounce back from whatever has struck you. So it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you respond that matters. It's your attitude that helps you get through it that matters. It's how you react. It's not how far you fall. It's how high you bounce back. You're going along in life. You've got everything set on cruise control. But when you listen, when you fall, you have to have resiliency inside of you. And when you fall, you've got to be able to bounce back from where you've been. When life doesn't treat you fairly, you've got to be able to get back up off the ground. You're going to have to do exactly what Micah told the adversary to do. Don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Amen? Amen? So when life doesn't treat you fairly, you've got to be able to get back up. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to bounce back out of this thing. The devil came against me, but he's not going to keep me down forever. Trouble came at me. I'm not going to stay in this position forever. My husband said he doesn't love me anymore, but I'm going to get back up and bounce back. I got laid off, but I'm bound. Tell somebody, I will bounce back. You'll go through hell, but you'll bounce back. The water's up to here, but you'll bounce back. It's an attitude. But you don't possess the strength to bounce back on your own. But greater is he who lives in me than he that is in the world. You might feel like a failure, but listen up. Maybe you're not as far ahead as you thought you'd be in your career right now. Maybe you've had more failures than you can count. Maybe you missed some goals you had set for yourself. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or through a bankruptcy, the death of a loved one or the loss of a career. It's not your failures that matter. It's how you rebound from them, your resiliency. It's how you bounce back. It's how you've learned from your coach, who reminds me, it's not how smooth you look when you're going in for the layup. That's not where the game ends. It's that after you've put the ball against the backboard, you position yourself for the rebound, because guess what? It's not going to go in every time. It's going to roll off the rim once in a while. And if you don't get in position for the rebound, the adversary will get the ball and they'll score, right? So you have to begin to learn to rebound. Say, I will rebound. So if you're going to go to a higher spiritual level, you have to make change. I don't know what you're expecting God to do, but if you're going to get to where he wants you to be, you can't be sleeping over at Carlos' house every Friday night. Can't be doing that. Breaking bad habits are not going to hurt you. They're going to help you. It'll get you where you need to go. And if you're going to go to where God wants you, you can't be stealing tithe from the Lord. If you're going to go to where God wants you, you have to quit going by how you feel and go by how God's word speaks. Because it's God's word that counts in his kingdom, not how we feel. And sometimes in the church, we make a very serious error in equating how we feel with what God's will is. And most of the time, they are not all the same. They're just not the same. And so you have to walk in love and walk in forgiveness and walk by the word. You can't live your life by feelings. If you live your life by feelings, you're going to make bad choices frequently. When you're, listen, You've got to make up your mind to do the right thing with others, even when they've offended you, intentionally or not. Even when you don't feel forgiveness, you love them anyway by choice. Because love, by God's will, is choice in His Word, not by how I feel. That's why so many marriages fall apart, because it's all based on feeling instead of the will of the Lord and the principles of God. And how God loves us is the same love that He infuses into us, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that causes us to love the same way He does, by choice. Because you've got a lot at stake here. Your eternal future reward is at stake on this issue. The devil wants you to think because you haven't reached your goals, he wants you to think, well, you're a failure. He wants you to think because you had losses, your life is over. That devil is a liar. Right. If your life is going to improve, anybody here want your life to improve? You want to go to where God has for you? Listen, you're going to have to make biblical change. You're waiting on God. God's waiting on you. He's not going to change. He's perfect. We're the ones who need to change because we are imperfect. None of us like trouble, but trouble has a way of bringing change. And God will let that happen if we won't voluntarily cooperate. The truth is, if we won't change, trouble will help you change. And often we only change when we get in a difficult spot. And you say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's sometimes the attitude of all too many Christians. But God has a way of getting your attention. The Lord does deal with us about issues in our lives, does He not? And if you refuse to deal with them, He has a way of turning up the heat. The fires of life have a way of forcing change. And oh, how the flesh will fight change. And oh, how the flesh fights correction. Because we are all stubborn and we are all self-willed. And that's why we needed Jesus to save us. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us change. Because that does not happen overnight. We need to change day by day, increment. See, Israel had the same problem. They soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel, Psalm 106. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. In other words, they tested God. They kept tempting Him with their attitude. And they tested Him in the desert, and He gave them their request. Okay, you're not satisfied with what I'm giving you? I'll give you what you want. When you pester God to have your own way and you keep demanding it and demanding it and demanding it, there comes a day when God goes, okay, go ahead and eat it. It's going to be bitter when you take it. And sent leanness into their soul. Listen, two things are going to happen when God puts you to the test. You're either going to cooperate with Him and go to where He wants you to be by passing the test, or you may get your way and not cooperate with Him, but you'll walk out of there lean in here spiritually, stripped. Touch somebody and tell them, don't fight this. Tell them, don't fight it, right? Give your will to the Lord. Be flexible and cooperate with God. If you're letting God work in your life, His expectation is that we're constantly allowing Him to change us. He's not going to allow you to mistreat your spouse physically or harm her in any way without confronting you and saying, that's got to stop. If you're going to have a better marriage, there's got to be change and modification. If you're going to have more financing, something has to change. If you're going to live in health, something has to change. You have to do some things in order for change to happen. The next time you come to church, try sitting in a different section just for a change. I already know where you sit, so you'll mess me up if you do that. Some people sit as far away as they can because they don't want to change. Come down here. Come and taste the Lord's presence with us. Get close. Drive a different way to work or to church. I don't care how set in your ways you are, you can change. Say, I can change.
I can change.
You don't want to change, but you can change. And when you're fighting change, you could be fighting God. So evaluate the direction of your life. You don't want to be in a fight with God. You never win. No one ever has, and no one ever will. You will not be the first. It's time to get out of your comfort zone and make a change. And now, what's God talking to you about? Well, he's not talking to me. Oh, yeah, he is. He's talking to everybody in the room every single day, during the course of every single day, because he's constantly looking for opportunities to speak to us about the changes we need to make. Now, all the only problem was we keep tuning him out and don't want to hear what he has to say. He's talking to everybody about something. The more you change, then the more you can help others. See, once God brings a healing to your emotions or to your spiritual life or to your physical body, once he brings healing to any part of your life, you're going to be used of God in that area to bring a blessing to somebody else who's struggling. Because it's not just about you and me. It's about what God wants to do for other people. And when one person grows in a marriage and the other person doesn't, there's going to be some sandpaper and some conflict. When one person is growing and the other is not, somebody's going to be slightly unhappy. See, marriage doesn't bring you the person you dated. And I know you can't say anything or do anything right now because he or she is sitting too close to you. But dating does not bring you the person you married. Because the person you married is not the person you dated. Because while you were dating, you had your best face on. You kind of cooperated. You were lenient. And you always looked your best. And in fact, both of you were in shape while you were dating. Lord help us here, right? That's why you don't just date around. You date for discovery. So you know a little bit about who this person is, right? But something happened after you got married. The real person showed up. And you better know who that is. Oh, surprise. Woo. Yeah. And I say that because if you're growing, and I'm not talking about pounds here, if you're growing, there must be change, right? If there's change, there will be growth. And the point is, you don't want them to always just be the person you dated, right? The reality is, unless you're growing, you can't be changing. So if you need a breakthrough of some kind in your life, there has to be adjusting. Maybe you need to go to counseling for that. No, listen to me. You go to the doctor. You go get help when you know you can't get past this. The symptoms haven't gone away, or you need something to help you, to kind of boost you in the right direction. Sometimes you need that in your marriage and relationships. Maybe you just need to go on a diet and join Northside. I mean, come on, right? Change alone doesn't bring growth, but you cannot have growth without change. You won't walk in sync with God in his will until you get out of that zone where you just want to hide and hibernate and don't want anything to rattle your quiet little life that you've established. Are you willing to make changes in order to find God's will? Are you willing to make changes so that your marriage can heal? Are you willing to go get help and get counsel and input because things aren't working all on your own? Are you willing to praise God in a whole new way in your life? Listen, I'm speaking about growth. There's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it doesn't keep you from growing. So you have to do something different if you expect a different result. Whether you know it or not, there are barriers around everybody, and all of us have them. It won't be easy, but you got to break through these barriers. Sometimes you go against the flow to break them. Martin Luther said back in his day, I can't go with what's going on in the church today. I have to go against the flow because it's against what God teaches in his word. In later years, in the era not far behind us, Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have to go against the flow because there are injustices that need to be corrected. I have to, and it's going to be uncomfortable, but we've got to make some change. Just because your friends are using, you don't have to. Just because your friends are sleeping around doesn't mean you have to. Every person, listen, has some kind of a barrier around them. And whether it has to do with your talent, your education, or your service for the Lord, or your personality, or your job, there's an invisible barrier around every single person. Those obstacles change, they modify as you progress. And there's always going to be more for you to change because you see it in the life of Joseph. Test after test, Daniel, test after test after test. This is a principle you have to act on. And listen, those barriers, just because you face another one, don't you ever take it lying down. Stand in the face of your adversary. I will rise is my position, right? I will rise. The barrier is there, whether it's your flesh or the devil or both, there's always barriers, and you'll have to have an offensive thrust to knock down the barrier. And unless there's change, you're going to be in the same place this time next year. Unless you do something different, you're going to have another pity party exactly at the same time again next year. There has to be an offensive thrust and a push through the barrier in order for change. And we've hit a growth barrier. That means, listen to me, every member of Calvary Christian Center has to step up to the calling and the command of King Jesus, the Lord Jesus, to reach new people. That means everybody here has to do something different. That means that the fivefold giftings in the church are here to train you to do the work of ministry. That means something as simple as inviting people to church with those you have close relationships. That means, listen to me, that means that it's not about us being in the building so we feel good every Sunday. It's about, as long as there's still one person unchurched and unreached in our community, our obligation as the whole body of Christ is to see to it that person hears the gospel and has a choice, a chance for choice, because it takes an unselfish church to grow. I said it takes an unselfish church to grow. Change and growth can be difficult because it's not going to be just about me. From our perspective, see, we sometimes think it's about me. No, it's not about me. If God's word tells me anything, it tells me that. This isn't about you. From God's perspective, it's about everybody, not just about me. Okay. Change and growth can be difficult. That's why you have to be under authority. That's why we're in the kingdom, because it's different than the culture or our democracy or whatever it is you've come out of in the past history of your life. You're under authority, under a pastor who has vision to help get us where we're supposed to go, because that's how God's designed his kingdom. You'll need an offensive thrust, and you can't take it lying down. Won't happen when you're at ease. Wherever you are, there will have to be change in your life somewhere along the timeline before this year is over. And this pastor is committed to change for the purpose of growth. And there will be change. This applies to every ministry on this campus. You will have to make up your mind. You're not going to remain where you are. And if we intend to go to new places in the Lord, there will be change in our lives. Breakthroughs always require something from us. God just doesn't go, oh, you need a breakthrough? Here. No, it requires something. It required of Daniel to take the risk to pray 3 times a day, as he did every single day, when they was told by edict, you can only pray to the God of this Babylonian Empire. And he said, no, you know, I'm going to keep praying to the God I always pray to. For him to get the breakthrough, he had to do some things that didn't feel good. You need a breakthrough in your marriage? It's going to require something out of you. You need a financial breakthrough? It requires that you start learning how to sow seed in the kingdom of God, even when you don't want to or feel like it. Take steps. You're proactive. That's the reason some people see breakthroughs, and other people don't. What's your dream? What's your vision? What goals do you have in your heart? What do you want to see accomplished in the next 6 to 12 months? You write the vision, you make it plain on tablets. Listen, though it tarries, wait for it, Habakkuk wrote, because it will surely come. God says it will not tarry. So write it down. Make a plan. You know, we go, look, it's going to get modified because God doesn't give it to you all at once at the beginning of his unfolding of the vision. He gives it to you like he did Joseph, corn stalks and the sun and the moon and everything, and had nothing to do literally with what it was going to actually unfold to be. But at least he understood God's got this dynamic plan. I have no idea how I'm going to get there or how it's going to look when I get there. But God will give it to you as you trust him and do what he asks. So write it down. Watch God modify it. Keep it updated. Check to see where you are with it. Well, right away somebody thinks, you know, well, it's time for a new place in the Lord, Pastor. That's what you're preaching. So I think I must have to move away in order to solve my problem. if I just move away, that'll solve my problem. Or changing churches, that will solve my problem because I don't like anybody challenging me, so I'll just change somewhere else. Changing spouses will solve my problem. I have a revelation from God's word for you today. The problem is in you. And you're going to take it wherever you go because it's in you. You will never see changes in your life until you're ready to get out of your comfort zone. How serious are you about breaking the cycle of loneliness, the cycle of depression? If you're tired of being lonely, you're going to have to change something. Progress requires change. The word says if a man, listen, I'll read it to you right out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. I don't have any friends. Well, how about getting connected? How about getting with a small group? How about attending a class? How about being a part of a fellowship within the body of Christ so you can develop some relationships? If you don't have any friends, guess where that's going to fall? Right on your own lap. In other words, you can't isolate yourself. Well, I'm not very social. Learn to be social. You have to get connected. Take someone to lunch. Let's go have coffee. As if you're sick and tired of where you are, you're in a perfect place to turn your life around. This is an opportunity. And it's good for us once in a while to hit a brick wall if it causes us to stop and make changes. It amazes me how many people will just sit in the same traffic jam every single day and never think about, maybe I should take a different route. You know, the little recalculate thing you got on Google or recalculate. You can get around this little impasse here if you go this way, and this way. Maybe you ought to just kind of wiggle around in that thing a little bit. But they're content because they don't like to change those things. Try some new food. Some people, you know, it's either gym boys or in and out every other day. It's like, okay. And if you offer them Asian, let's go. What? Listen, total rut. Try a new culture. Lunch around the world. We're going to eat from all the different cultures today. I love that about our church. Amen. All these different cultures bringing something. Embrace them. We can learn something from everybody. But you have to make changes in your life. And you're never going to see growth until after you alter something in your life. Anybody ready for God to do something new in your life? Amen? Amen? If you want to lose weight, you're going to have to make changes. You don't have to finish everything on your plate. But mommy told me I had to eat everything on my plate. I'm not your mommy, okay? I'm your pastor. And I'm telling you, when your metabolism changes, you don't have to be eating everything on your plate. You will have to exercise. Everybody say, changing improves my life. If you want to see change in your life, remember, persistence always overcomes resistance. You keep persisting. Bruce Wilkinson, we've had some of his studies we've used in the past. He writes this newsletter, and it's phenomenal this week. He tells the story of the Old Testament Hebrew nation in its infancy, and God had reserved for Israel a new territory, a wonderful homeland, just a few miles to the north of where they were, land of milk and honey. And Bruce goes on to say it was to be to the Israelites just a few days' march, but it took them 40 years to get there because of fear of failure. They didn't want to change. They were stuck. So Moses sends the scouting party out. Two guys come back out of the 12, and they tell, we can do this. We can do this. God's for us. No one can resist us. But the people spoken in fear, he says, trumped faith. And despite all God had done for them, all they could see were their own inadequacies. And so they took 40 years, nearly four decades of aimless wandering in a barren wilderness. And Bruce goes on to write, how many times do we settle for camping out in the dust when God has laid before us a lovely promised land? Fear is the enemy of God's incredible reward. And I like what he goes on to say here. Every time we creep up to those borders, anxiety rush comes to us. This is different. I've never done this before. I don't want to do this. It's not comfortable for me to do this. Because we tend to find a comfort zone, settle down, and furtively wonder what lies on the outskirts. Change makes us a bit uncomfortable. When have you shrunk back from a beckoning opportunity? What new borders is God pointing out to you? Do you feel personal insecurities? The delegation from Israel thought they were making a safe choice. We're making the safe, wise choice. But they had it completely backwards. They bought themselves a generation of misery. Ask God to give you the courage, he says, to move forward. And I say amen to everything Bruce wrote in that article. It is absolutely fantastic. What's God speaking to you about? Your temper? Your prejudices? Your addictiveness? Your submission to authority? Your pride or laziness? God's saying it's time for change. Get more of Jesus, ingest more of his word, raise your faith level, quit playing it safe, and get out of the boat and do some water walking. Say, I can't change. In order to change, there may be relationships you have to leave behind you, people you walk away from, things I can't rub shoulders with that anymore. And you grow through those moments where you've had failure, and the failure teaches you to grow and to be strong for the next episode. Remember, the devil will accuse you every step of the way. He's trying to condemn you with your past and throws it all in your face. If you're going to go somewhere with your life, the devil's going to fight you. And all trouble is a sign the devil is fighting you because he's afraid of what you're about to do, so he attempts to stop you. Moses had this great comeback story. He was a prince of Egypt, gets tossed out because he's done murder, and they find a little bit more about his Jewish background, and he's banned from Egypt for his life. No doubt he thinks, I'll never bounce back from this. Everything's behind me that I thought was ahead of me, and I'm stuck out here forever. But what a comeback Moses made. When Jesus is transfigured on the mount in Israel, one of the two who's with him that appear, one of them is Moses. He liberates all of Israel out of Egypt. David has a great comeback story. He had a failure. It was difficult. It was horrible. It affected his family and his sons. But he has this great comeback story because God is into bringing out the best he has for you, even in the worst of flops we've made in our lives. It's not how far you fall that matters. It's how you bounce back. Say, I will bounce back. Stand to your feet and give thanks to God. I will bounce back. Amen.